Very, very good. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Isaiah 66. I know what the time says, so everybody just kind of throw your clock to the side. And appreciate Brother Druitt this morning and a blessing of singing. We'll look forward to him singing after lunch. He'll sing this for us this afternoon from about 1:30 to 2:30, hopefully. He's an old quartet guy, too, he's got some old Statesman quartet songs. He's going to sing those for us, aren't you? Yeah, sure. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Y'all saw the plug I put in, right? real quick, Brother Adam, we've shown this some of this PowerPoint before, but kind of where we started from. I think it's good every year to be reminded. We met in the Keever's house, and the first service we had on a Sunday, we had 41 present. And then go to the next one. We met with the Keever's house on Wednesday nights for 6 or 7, 8 weeks. This is our church in a box, and I still have the box. And literally, this is the box we had when we first started. Miss Carly would attest to that. And inside of it is still all the visitors' cards and things from the first few services. Just reminds us, this is what we started with. I know buildings are not, these are just tools, but that's what we started with. And then next, we met in the Hassett Community Center for a few weeks on Sundays. And then we met in a Keller Community Center next. By the way, when we met in the Hassett Community Center, the nursery was in Brother Kelly Clark's camper. Amen. It was awesome. Yeah. Keller Community Center for a few weeks, and then finally we settled in at at the Lake Worth location. This is the storefront we met in Lake Worth for 3.5 years, and God was good to us there. I'll never forget as we began to grow. The children's church room wasn't big enough. We built, Brother Clark and some other guys built bleachers in the children's church room. We met in there for the first couple of months with a one-hole bathroom. Some of y'all know what that means, a one-holer. One-holer. Bunch of people from the north. Then we moved out to the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary. We were there for about 2.5 years while the building was being built. By the way, I've skipped a few things, but we'll go on. We purchased this land in 2001, and then we moved out to the Norris Seminary in 2003. Was there about 2.5 years, and then moved to Haslett in May 7th, 2006. By the way, it's almost 9 years ago now. That boggles my mind, 9 years. We this building, some of the upstairs, which is the building next to us, I know they're together, but I think of them separately, the educational building behind us. Some of the upstairs, 2,500 square feet was finished out in 2010, so that building was completed. And then we've gotten this building, where you're in now, the auditorium in 2012, November 2012. We also added 3,600 square feet to the building behind us, the educational building, and then remodeled the educational building. And was in it November of 2012. And what a blessing it's been, right? And so God has been blessed to bring us from this to where we're at today. And then this is the gym, the activity center we're building. And it'll go in the center of the football field. We're real close. We did not want to do groundbreaking today. Just don't want to get the cart before the horse. Make sure that everything, all our ducks in a row. We've been there, done that. So we want to make sure. I'm always a little hesitant. But this should happen, Lord willing. It'll start this year and probably finish this year to get the gym started. So it's going to be really nice, ladies. Just can't wait. The kitchen in that thing is three times bigger than the one we have now. It has more ovens, more stuff, more sinks. I know all you ladies are gathered around that one little sink. This has 3 sinks. It's just all awesome. By the way, guys, too, that was a good breakfast yesterday. Whoever would have thought, let's have a men's breakfast and have hamburgers. Ladies wouldn't have. Our wives would never let us do that. It was awesome. So for our activities, for our Men of Valor breakfasts, all the things in the gym, 90 by 100 gymnasium. And then upstairs, there'll be a 5,000 square foot slab. We won't finish it out right now, but we'll finish it later. And it'll be the youth building once it's completed later down the road, which really, if we had the money, they could use it now. They've about filled it up upstairs. Look at him. Appreciate it, Brother Adam. But that's it. Lord willing, that'll happen this year. Isaiah chapter 66. We have used this verse before on anniversary. It's just a a tremendous passage. And so we know that Isaiah here is warning of the judgment to come, of the captivity that is to come. The northern kingdom going to be carried into captivity just in a little bit, a few years from when he's speaking here. And the southern kingdom will be carried into captivity a little over 100 years after he is speaking here in Isaiah 66. So he's warning them of the impending judgment. He's warning them that if that they better come to God and repent and obey and follow him. And then also he confirms that Jerusalem would be restored at one point and that God would bless Israel once again. So let me clarify as I try to get wound down so I can do this. Israel, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. Some of you may not know what that means, but there were the kingdom was split into two kingdoms. Isaiah is saying to the children, the southern kingdom primarily, he's saying to them, listen, you need to get right with the Lord because judgment is coming. And God is going to take his blessings off of Israel. And then he reminds them of the impending captivity. And then he reminds them, yet there is hope. He says to that kingdom, there is hope. Israel will be restored. Jerusalem will be restored. And can I remind you, one day the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem forever and ever and ever. And that the Jews are still God's chosen people. And I will tell you, Heritage Baptist Church stands behind the book. And the book says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And as long as the promise is there, and it's there forever and ever, that those who bless Israel, those who support Israel, God will bless them. I'm just going to stand behind Israel, no matter what the United Nations says. Did y'all see that report from the United Nations? You know, the United Nations is a joke. Anyway, they condemned Israel for atrocities, and four different ones, and yet condemned Iran for only one, and China for only one. Israel for... what a bunch of idiots. Israel's the only democratic democracy over there. A true one. So stay behind Israel. I'm not saying they're not without their faults. Let's stay behind the God's chosen people. Amen. I got that out of my system. I feel better about it. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? And he goes on to talk about the sacrifices they are making. The sacrifice of lamb and the sacrifice of oxen. And he says, you know what? They're abomination to me. Abomination to me. Why would that be? God had commanded them to make these sacrifices. But yet he says, they're abomination to me. Verse 4 says, I will also choose their disillusion, and I'll bring forth their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer, and I spake, and they did not hear. In other words, they were making the sacrifices, simply going through the motions. They were worshiping the ritual rather than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than the person that represented. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren and they that hated you. They cast you out for my name's sake. Said, Lord, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Now let's skip on down to verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for the joy with her, all ye that mourn with her. Let me give you the outline, and let's get started, all right? After we pray. Lord, again, I'm a little rushed, and I pray, God, that you'd just steal my heart and my thoughts. Lord, I pray the message would ring forth very clearly of what you'd have us to have out of this passage of Scripture. God, would you would bless in a mighty way. Help us, Lord, to be a people who are humble, broken, and contrite. Help our motives to stay right. Lord, help us to remember that there is a fight and a war battle going on. And Lord, we're looking forward to the reward of your return. Well, thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. In these first four verses, we think of worship. Israel's worship had gotten off track. They were worshiping the rituals. They were offering the bullocks up. They were offering the lambs up. They were offering the sacrifices up as God had instructed them. But they were worshiping the ritual rather than the person they represented. And God said that it was deplorable to him. He wasn't accepting those sacrifices. Because to God, It does matter. Your motives do matter. The heart matters to Him. He says there in verse 1, it's not about the building. He said it's not about the temple. He said, you know what? I created everything. I created all things. In fact, the book of Acts tells us that He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need a house. He doesn't need a building. God made all things. And I want to remind you that this is a building and it's a tool to be used of God. But God is more impressed and God is wanting a people, as verse 1 states in verse 2, of who are contrite in spirit. Verse 2 at the end there, contrite in spirit. We learned through our revival meeting this last summer, last year, with Brother Dave McCracken, that God wants His people to be broken. God wants His people to be humble. God wants His people to be contrite. By the way, it's easy to remember. It's HBC, Heritage Baptist Church. Anyway, I just never forget that. And God wants us to be a people who are broken and humble and contrite. Remembering that we are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. We must understand and know that we're sinners. We're just sinners. And we need God's mercy. We are to look to Him. We're to look to Him for salvation. Right? To have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. And we're to look to Him as believers for help and for strength to live every day. Remember when Dave McCracken used that illustration about being feisty? As Christians, we have a tendency as a horse. My grandfather, my pawpaw, bought a horse when we were 8 years old. And we had the opportunity, some of you have heard the story 100 times, but we had the opportunity to go up and help him break the horse. And her name was Cody, and a quarter horse, beautiful, beautiful horse, fast horse. But that horse was absolutely feisty. And really, she was a one-man horse. She really, when my pawpaw got on her, she was fine. But when we got on her, man, she'd start prancing around, and she wouldn't do what we asked her to do. And no matter how hard you pulled on the reins or whatever you did, you had to carry a little switch with you. And even that didn't mean anything if she was headed to the house. You never ran that horse directed to the house. Or else you would do what I did when I was about 9 years old, and you would find yourself on the ground. She was feisty. She did not want to do what she was directed to do. And as Christians, as believers, so many times we are feisty. Instead of being humble, instead of being broken, instead of being contrite and depending upon God and saying, Lord, I need You. And that's what Israel should have done here. They were seeing the impending doom. The Assyrian army was on their way to capture the northern kingdom and to see their impending doom. And yet they did not cry out to God. They did not cry out to God. You remember the children of Israel in Egypt, after being in bondage, cried out to God, and God heard their cry, right? God heard their cry. What did they say? Basically said, God, I need You. God, we need You. Remember the children of Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness, came to many different places where they needed water or they needed food. And God, we need You. Lord, we need You. So many illustrations of this. The children of Israel, when they returned to the promised land after the captivity of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, Lord, we need You. And can I tell you this morning, we need the Lord. See, He's not so concerned about sacrifices. And I would tell you, He's not as much concerned about what you do. It's the motives behind what you do that he's concerned about. See, it does matter to Him why you teach a Sunday school class. It matters to Him why you gave in the offering plate this morning. You say, well, preacher, man, I gave. Well, praise the Lord. But why did you give? Why did you sing? Motives matter. Why am I standing up here preaching? God knows my heart, You don't. And why I'm standing here and preaching, the motive matters to God. My heart motive matters to God. And the children of Israel had gotten into the rituals of the sacrifices and gotten into the ceremony, the pomp and circumstances, and had forgotten what the sacrifices represented. Their heart was cold. Their heart was far away from God. You go through and read it. They had left God. In fact, we find that Isaiah found some of the priests worshiping creatures in the temple themselves. He stepped out and watched people worshiping the sun and the outside of the building of the temple. It's unbelievable what they were doing. He said it's important We need to be careful as we go forward as a church that a lot of busyness does not equate to spirituality. The programs do not equate to spirituality and all the different programs. I'm thankful for the programs we have, and God uses those things, but we must be careful not to set God aside and say, hey, we have our program, but we don't need you. We need Him. We need Him in the ministry. See, we can have a lot of music and a lot of preaching, but our heart motives matter. A lot of motion, but the motives matter. In other words, if some of you stick around here very long, you know we're busy. But just simply being busy does not mean that we're spiritual. Let's be very careful. Lord, I need you. Lord, I can organize and agonize, but I need to agonize more than I organize. Lord, I need you. I need you. It is the heart of the worshiper that determines the value of the offering. What you bring to offer to God, whether it's your talent, your time, your treasure, it's your heart that determines the value of the offering that you bring. Number two, he also talks about here in verse 5, and we don't have time to fully develop the point, but he basically says there is a remnant. When Isaiah is preaching, he's telling them, hey, you guys, you're offering the sacrifices up, but you don't mean what you're doing. And then he says in verse 5 that there are some who are still serving for the right reasons. There are some who are serving Jehovah God and doing what's right, and they were being persecuted by those who were not. This is found throughout the Old Testament. A remnant, a very small remnant, and so forth, that were still serving God and right. Can I tell you, as a church, when we continue to do the right thing, there will be persecution. Not just persecution from the world, as we stated, but from other religious institutions. Because we hold to a set of fundamentals, because we hold to a set of Bible teachings and Bible doctrines that we stand firm on and will not be moved from, there will be persecution. I'm glad today that we do stand on the fundamentals of the faith, that we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, the very Word of God. I hold in my hand the Word of God without error. And what a word it is. By the way, 2 Timothy tells us, the Word of God tells us what's right. The Word of God tells us what's wrong. The Word of God tells us how to get right. And the Word of God tells us how to stay right. The Word of God's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen? And we go to the Word of God to see what is right. Not to man, not to some court, but we go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say is right? What does the Word of God say is wrong? That's where we stand. We don't interpret it in light of today's society. We don't interpret it in light of today's political correctness. We stand on the Word of God. Amen. And because we do that, and because we stand firm on the teachings and the Bible, many times, I'm telling you right now, listen closely, we are going to be persecuted. We're already being called bigots. Yes, we are. Another one of my soapboxes I don't want to get off on. Or as conservative Baptists, we're called legalists because we think that people ought to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. Just because we believe the Bible teaches that a Christian ought to look different, act different, smell different. And they should. Christians ought to be different. We're told to be the light to the world. Amen. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We ought not go places some people go. We ought not, oh man, here we go. We ought not go to the bar. Man, we're Christians. We're Christ followers. Would Christ go to a bar? I don't think so. You know, there's places we shouldn't go. There's things we shouldn't do. There's things that come out of our mouth we shouldn't say. There's ways we shouldn't dress. See, if I get on that, man, it's summer's here, so pretty soon all the clothes are coming off. I'm talking about summer clothing wear. Bible says we ought to wear modest apparel. You say, well, preacher, you interpret that the way, and I'll interpret it my way. Well, whatever. Modesty's modesty. Amen. I feel better about the whole thing. I'm just saying, because we stand on some things, there's persecution going to take place. We stand for the fundamentals. That means the fundamentals. Like we have fundamentals in basketball. You pass, you know, you have the bounce pass, and you have the pass, and you have fundamentals in basketball. Fundamentals, I know, I'm just rambling. I'm hurried, and I don't want to be hurried. The fundamentals of the faith. It means without these five fundamentals, you could not have Christianity. Without these five fundamentals, you couldn't have salvation. It's like having gas to a car. If you don't have gas in your car, it's not going anywhere. And if you don't believe the Bible is to be the inspired and errant word of God, you don't have anything. The next one is the virgin birth. We believe, the Bible teaches, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Number three, we believe in the atonement of Christ, that His blood and His death for us gave us eternal life and gives us eternal life. Jesus Christ died, shed His blood, that my sins might be forgiven. We believe He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said it Himself when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. We believe in the resurrection, that Jesus Christ died, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. It's a fundamental of the faith. By the way, He didn't swoon, He died. And He bodily rose from the dead. Come back next Sunday. Come back next Sunday, get to hear the choir. Come back next Sunday if you haven't visited us before. Visit us again and come next Sunday. We're looking forward to the resurrection and celebrating it. Lastly, we believe that Christ is coming again. He's coming again. Amen. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but surely soon. Amen. He's coming again. I'm looking forward to the day. Persecution is coming. We must continue to stand for the fundamentals of the faith. Amen. It's going to take work. Verse 8 says, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Just as soon as they stopped relying upon themselves and begged for God to intervene, they travailed. Can we be just reminded today that planting a church, growing a church, growing Christians, edifying the body, takes work. But if we'll cry out to God, we'll see His rewards. And we have. 14th anniversary is a great victory, but not without travail. Hasn't been without travail. We've had a bump or two in the road, but God's been so good to us. Let's work the works of Him that sent us, amen? While it is day, because we don't know when night's coming, but we know it's coming. Soon He'll return. And that's the third point and the last one, God's reward. They were promised a hope. He says, rejoice ye in Jerusalem and be glad. It goes on to talk about that Israel will be restored. Israel will be restored. Can I tell you, we have a hope. We have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon He will return for His own. Soon we'll be reunited with the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon, soon. Believe in the blessed hope of His appearing. Christ is returning. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. Listen, He's coming again. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says He'll come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. He's coming again. He could come today. What a day that'll be. Amen. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Y'all know the chorus, don't you? Let's sing it. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Looking forward to that day in the blessed hope. I hope this morning you know that you know that you know that you're saved. I pray this morning you know that if today you were to die, you'd have a home in heaven. Amen. If you don't, today you can know. And you can step out of your chair. Just a moment, we're going to sing a song. You can step out of your chair and come forward. And one of these adult workers will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. How your sins can be forgiven. And how you can have the hope of heaven. the hope of His return, the hope of eternal life. We must maintain a true heart of worship. Not just going through the motions, but true worshiping, true worship. We must cry out to Him and say, Lord, we need You. We can't live the Christian life on our own. And secondly, we must understand that there is no victory without pain. And as you grow in your Christian life, you're going to have some valleys. There's going to be some storms. It's just testing our faith and growing our faith. As a church, our trials are not over. Hopefully we won't have as big of ones as we've had some in the past. But it takes travail to see a birth take place. We're looking forward to what God will do in the future. And lastly, the reward will be joy, gladness to see Christ return and heaven be our home. Can I remind you today, church, the best days are ahead. For you individually as a Christian and for our church as well. Let's all stand. Hymn 167. Maybe you're here this morning and you do not have a church home. I think Brother Ivy said it very pointedly. We'd love to have you come and join and be a part of our church. You can do that by stepping out of the aisle, coming forward, and we'll show you how to become a part of our church family. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe today you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest decision you can ever make is to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It will change your life, and I pray you'll step out of your chair. Christian, we need Him. Humble, broken, contrite. Sometimes we get feisty. Maybe today you just need to kind of say, Lord, I've been a little feisty lately. Lord, help me get back in line. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. And we pray that You would, again, you know, Your word would not return void. And I pray, Lord, that You'd just touch the hearts of those who are here. Thank You for the 14 years. What a blessing it's been. But Lord, we look forward to what You'll do in the future. In Jesus' name.